Today on Real Radio.
There's the 600 men of Saul, which, that's not very many guys. But Jonathan, instead of hiding underneath a pomegranate tree, Jonathan looks to his armor bearer and says, hey, you know what? What's it to God if he's going to deliver the enemy into our hands if he uses a lot of soldiers or just a few?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. Now, we're in chapter 14, which records another conflict between the men of Israel and their ancient enemies, the Philistines. Now, this part of Scripture gives us yet another lesson in faith. In fact, as Pastor Jack points out, these verses point out the differences between the faith of Jonathan and the faith of his father Saul. Here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson taken from 1 Samuel chapter 14. It's a study called Faith, Jonathan versus Saul.
Jesus said concerning his return, in the context, it's his second coming. Jesus said that when he would come back to the earth, would he find faith on the earth? The Bible tells us that whatever we do in this life, in this world, as believers, if it's not done in faith, it's not pleasing to God. In your life's experience, how has faith worked out? How has it panned out with you? You know, do you struggle like I do with faith? Man, I do. I don't have much faith. I get upset at my lack of faith. But yet, as I grow older in the Lord, I realize that He has never yet once let me down. Never. People have let me down. I've let people down. But He's never let us down. In our emotions, in our feelings, we've thought, we've even accused Him of letting us down. But when it's all said and done, He's been faithful all the way through. God is worthy for us to put our faith into and upon. The other day, actually it was yesterday, we took a couple of hours and we took a visiting friend of ours from Jerusalem. We took him to Disneyland yesterday for a few hours, and you know, that's a fun place, you know. And I got to confess, I'm not a roller coaster kind of guy. I don't. Hey, you know what? Anything that causes my stomach to go up in my mouth, that man has screwed onto a track, I panic at that. Why? Because I don't trust men. If that thing's got enough power to put my stomach in my throat and some man screwed that thing onto the track, I don't want anything to do with it. Now, call me a hypocrite or a lunatic. I'll get in an airplane and do loops and rolls and flips. There's something godly about an airplane. I don't know what it is. God was behind the creation of airplanes. That's fine. But roller coasters, I'm sure, are from hell itself. And I won't go on them. And I'm thinking, you know, here we go, and we're going to go to Disneyland. And every time I go, my kids are going, Dad, you're such a wimp. You won't go. You won't go. And I won't go. Well, Steve was a friend, but yesterday he became a very good friend because he too would not go on these, these demonic things. And it's funny because as my family, as they were going through these loops and rolls and stuff on this track, safely, content, Steve and I sat there with all the other old men. And began to comfort one another as we began to say, you know, it's not right that people ride on those things. It's tempting the Lord thy God. And you know, and we began to just, you know, extrude propaganda one upon another until we were fully confident that we were the ones who were full of faith because we would not indulge in a roller coaster. I don't trust those things. I have reasons. They come off the track, people fly out of the belt or whatever, and all these things go through my mind, you know. But then when it comes to God, as I've grown older, I have found it more comforting and more assuring to trust in what the Lord has done, what the Lord is doing. Yet Jesus said when he comes back in the second coming, not the rapture, but the second coming, he says when he returns, will he find faith on the earth? That's a haunting question. Listen, are you advancing in the Lord? Is your faith increasing? Let me put it to you this way. Grab your Bible, go to Daniel 11, verse 32. Daniel 11, 32, and you might say, well, Jack, the context is the tribulation period in Daniel 11. Yes, you're right, but God's truth never changes. So let me bring you down to the latter end of the verse of Daniel 11, 32, and it says, but the people who know their God, they shall be strong or carry out great exploits. That's an encouraging verse. How can that be true? The people who know their God shall carry out great exploits. Now, again, in the context, it is those in the tribulation period will do incredible things for God. But has not God, listen, has not God done incredible things? He has. You know what's so great? As long as we're drawing breath and as long as the church is still on the earth, he's not done doing great things. God is going to want to do some great things. He wants to carry out great exploits. My great fear is that he might carry out a great exploit without me. I don't want to miss that. He's going to do something in the earth. God has got a plan. He's got a vision. He's got a ministry to do, and I don't want to miss that. I don't want this church to miss that. But it's going to take faith. It's going to take seeing God bigger, listen, bigger than our excuses and our often minuscule view of God. We have sometimes, I think, been victimized that we see God as a very, very old, very powerful, strong, big, bigger than life man. And he's not. He's God. He's spirit, the Bible says. He's not subject to the physical laws of this world. You know that? You and I are. It's terrible that we are to some degree. And yet, some things good. We are governed by this space and this time and this realm. And yet faith, the Word of God, demands of us that we look outside of this realm and put our faith and trust in God, who can do anything at any time. So listen, what is your thing? What do you want to see God do? It's not, can God do it? It's, will God do it with us? What's going to happen? And as a church, as a people, we can sit back and say, you know, God, you go, and you go do. And when it's all secured and it's all, you know, God, when all of your special forces have gone in and secured the area, then I'll come in. I don't want to live like that. I don't want us to live like that. A great Puritan of yesteryear said, we are invincible until God calls us home. That's pretty radical talk, isn't it? It's kind of reckless. And I think if we are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we will be reckless for Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about it. Turn in your Bibles then to 1 Samuel this evening, chapter 14, and we will touch on portions of this chapter this evening, and it's all about faith. If you remember last time on our study, we saw in chapter 13 the wrong way of worship. That Saul, in his lack of waiting upon Samuel to arrive, Saul steps out of his place as being king and he offers a sacrifice in the place of Samuel because Samuel had not yet arrived. And we talked about the wrong kind of worship. There is a faithless kind of worship. Listen, when you sing, when you lift your hands, when we are worshiping, do you see in your heart or are you recognizing and realizing that when you're singing, you know, you're not singing as you lift your voice, you're not singing to the the plastic or whatever the junk is that's above our heads up there. You're not singing to the ceiling. You're not singing to the stars. You're singing to God. And for the life of me, maybe somebody doesn't yet know the Lord or they're brand new at knowing the Lord, but sometimes I see people, they're standing, they got their arms lifted up and they're looking. It's like, well, there's an air conditioning duct right there, and oh, there's a light bulb out right there, and they're looking around. It's like, what are you thinking? And where our mouths are going, we stand in awe of you, and we, you know, and we're singing. And if at any moment a reporter was to come up and say, what did you just say? What was that just came out of your mouth? I don't know. We often mouth things and we say things and sing things and we don't even know what we're talking about. Yet in reality, when we do worship, as Saul so terribly missed out on, we can get into a worship that in our conscious awareness, we are not directing it to the Lord. We may be singing and we're thinking, oh, this sounds nice. And yet we are not realizing that when we worship, we are actually entering into the spiritual realm and we're delivering, as it were, a package at the feet of God. It's a gift. It's a blessing to him. He loves it. Saul, we saw last time, did not do that. He worshiped wrong. And there's a wrong type of worship, which leads us to what we see happening in chapter 14 of 1 Samuel. We're going to read a couple of verses, and again, we'll skip some of them because it's just filler to the background of what is being stated here. But in this chapter, Saul goes from the wrong kind of worship to making a ridiculous vow, a horrible judgment call, and that will always happen when we are not spiritual worshipers of God. We'll be operating in the flesh. But watch what happens. It says in verse 1, now it happened one day. In the Hebrew, it was programmed by God. God had a day planned. That Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, so his armor bearer. Listen to what Jonathan says. Come, let us go over to the Philistine garrison. Remember what the Philistines are a type of, everybody? Type of the flesh. That is on the other side. But he did not tell his father. Jonathan didn't tell Saul, his dad. And Saul was sitting in the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree. That's pretty pathetic because a pomegranate tree is extremely small and dinky. That's quite a sad picture. And it says the people who were with him were about 600 men. And it lists some of these players that are before us. Look at verse 6. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison of these, what does he say? Uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. Verse 7. So his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart. Go then. Here I am with you according to your heart. Then Jonathan said, very well, let us cross over to these men and we will show ourselves to them. You guys, we learned last time there are tens of thousands of them encamped. Jonathan, have you flipped? Catch the scene. There's the 600 men of Saul, which that's not very many guys. But Jonathan, instead of hiding underneath a pomegranate tree, Jonathan looks to his armor bearer and says, hey, you know what? And is this not a great act of faith? Is this not a huge exploit? What's it to God if he's going to deliver the enemy into our hands if he uses a lot of soldiers or just a few? You guys, that's huge faith. And his armor bearer says, you know what? Whatever you want to do, let's do it. What a tremendous assistant that is. I tell you, that's the kind of assistant you want to have. Whatever's in your heart to do, go for it. Why? Why could not assistants to Saul say the same thing about Saul? Why is this assistant saying it to Jonathan? Jonathan is moving now out from his father's poor example to live his life in faith. And when you live a life in faith, you will not stand there and look at how high the walls are or how broad the river is or how deep that sea might be. Listen, faith, I believe, when it's practiced the way God would have it, seems ridiculous. And it will be criticized. It will be made fun of. Have you ever expressed an act of faith that the Lord may be laying upon your heart and you might tell somebody, you know what, we're going to go do this or I'm going to go launch out in that area. And people will put that down. They say, oh, you're crazy. Boy, you better go pray about that. I have prayed about it. I'm going to be doing this thing. Whoa, woo. I believe that people who act in faith often will be misunderstood by even those that claim to be on your side. Wonderful, God-loving Christians will sometimes be your worst enemy when it comes to an exercise of faith. And Jonathan says, look, armor bearer, what's the deal? I've got a feeling about this. Let's go over, and God may want to deliver the whole slew of these guys into our hands. What's it to God if he uses a whole army or just two guys? Listen, I think if Jonathan's armor bearer would have said, forget you, I think Jonathan would have won himself. And so Jonathan says, come on, let's go show ourselves to these guys. It's hilarious. They're encamped on a mountaintop. So they're going to come to the base of the mountaintop while the army of the enemy is up above, looking down on them. Verse 8 says, come, let's go show ourselves to them. Verse 9, if they say thus to us, here's the little fleece that Jonathan lays out. If they say, wait until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and not go up to them. But if they say to us, come up here, come to us, then we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us. You see, Jack, this guy's crazy. Yeah, listen, he may look like he's crazy, but you know what? Somehow a thought. Jonathan, I believe, just didn't have a suicide wish. His father is hiding underneath a pomegranate tree with 600 men. If you've seen a pomegranate tree, you can get maybe two guys under it at best. So you've got 600 guys standing around a pomegranate tree with that Saul sitting underneath it, and they're removed from the battle scene altogether. What are they going to do? What are they doing? They need to act in faith. But see, Saul was not a worshiper, so he could never advance to the exploits of chapter 14. He was not a worshiper, thus he was not one to walk in faith. You see the connection? Jonathan apparently is a lover of God. He says, hey, what's the deal to God? And listen, church, it's no big deal to God to do whatever he wants to do at any time. Can he do it with one or 100,000? Yeah, it doesn't matter. In fact, he may even do it without us. He can get Balaam's donkey to do it. We've learned that one. God's going to move. He's going to do. But I want him to do it with us. And so the scripture says there that they came and they presented themselves. Verse 11, so both of them showed themselves. And the Philistines said, look, the Hebrews are coming out of their holes that they have been hiding in. Sounds like something we'd say about Osama. Then the garrison called to, and listen, Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up here, come up to us. We'll show you a thing or two. So Jonathan said, and wouldn't you love to have seen their face? He says to the armor bearer, they probably look at one another and went, all right, man, here we go. God's in it. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, my little faith, I think I would have made a more elaborate fleece to lay out before the Lord. Like, God, if you want us to fight these guys and win, turn the sky orange. Something. But, I mean, it's like 50-50 here. Think about it. I mean, this guy's gutsy and he's trusting in the Lord. You know, have them come down wearing clown suits or you know, something radical, a crazy thing. Well, now we'll know it's God, you know. You're going to ask me, I know because I brought the word up, you're going to ask me after the service, well, Pastor, what do you think about fleeces? I don't know. I think some people, I tell you, some people will say things like this. You know, I'm going to lay this fleece out before the Lord, and if he answers it, then I know that he wants me to quit my job or move to Milwaukee or marry this man or marry this woman or whatever the thing is. And so what's your fleece, I'll ask them. Well, you know, that I'll hear the name of Jesus tomorrow. Well, listen, if you want to know God's will, if that's your criteria, go down to the local construction site. You'll hear his name and confirmation every 5 minutes. And then when your world falls apart based upon that weak fleece, you have nothing to stand on. You say, well, do you believe in fleeces? Well, I tell you, it depends, you know. You look how God worked in people's lives, and every fleece that I see in the scripture, they're huge things. Gideon with his lambskin out there and, you know, make it wet and then not wet and wet and half wet and inside wet and outside and this day. And I mean, he's like putting God to the ringer with that one. I love that story, by the way. He just wanted to know what God's will is. He wasn't a doubter. He just wanted to know the right thing to do. May we be more like that. But in my personal life, you probably may not like this, I don't know, but when it comes to the something that is a big deal to me, I'll dig my heels in and I'll wait. And, you know, I have learned something that we cannot outwait God. And if you're waiting, he will honor that. But if you run ahead, you know what he does? He lets you go. There's Jack. I'm off and boom. Oh, man, Lord, that door didn't open. That's because I didn't want to open it. See, the thing is, I want to now sit down. Lord, what do you want? And if the door goes, okay, the door is unlocked. Lord, I'll do anything you tell me to do. I just want to make sure it's your will. And you hear the door go, looks like it's opening. It's not that I doubt God. It's that I want to make sure I do his will. So it's very possible that Jonathan woke up that morning and he was maybe laying down thinking, you know, what are we doing out here underneath the, well, my dad's got a pomegranate tree. What are we doing out here? The enemy is amassed with his 30,000 chariots and all of these people. They're going to kill us. What are we doing? Our God is God. And he's probably thinking in his head. And then he says to his armor bearer, what's the big deal? You guys, has a thought ever entered your head? Let me suggest this to you. I think great exploits will always arise in your head.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Faith, Jonathan versus Saul. It's a look at 1 Samuel chapter 14, which really gives us a great lesson in having faith in the God of Israel, that he will do what he says he will. And we'll continue with more of this fascinating verse-by-verse journey through this Old Testament historical book of 1 Samuel on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, of course, this being Monday means that tonight you can catch our television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs airs every Monday night, 7 o'clock West Coast time, on his channel. That's hischannel.com. Now, it's called Real Life with Jack Hibbs because you'll often see Pastor Jack sit down with some very interesting folks to talk about the hard-hitting topics and issues that affect all of us as believers, both personally and also in the big picture. And Pastor Jack always addresses these issues, of course, through the lens of Scripture. In other words, through the Judeo-Christian worldview. So Real Life with Jack Hibbs every Monday night, 7 o'clock West Coast time on his channel, hischannel.com. In fact, to make things easy, we've got a link to his channel from our own realradioactive.org. By the way, our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. Toll-free 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.